You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Mahomes on the range, where they allow some deep plays.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Where seldom is heard a failed third down conversion. And Albert Wilson never sees the light of day.
On ESPN Kansas City.
That's only appropriate because it is June. So we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes and then whatever Matt Derrick feels the particular need and desire to discuss. It's Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Derrick. And Matt, the first topic here is easy, not Kareem Hunt punching someone in the face. That we'll get to if we want, whenever we want. The true absurdity is the idea that anyone would set an over-under for Patrick Mahomes passing touchdowns at 21.5. So, Matt, I ask you, what week do you think Patrick Mahomes will throw his 22nd touchdown, and why is the answer week 8?
I was thinking you were thinking maybe the answer was like week 3 or week 4. So.
Well, listen, I don't want to overhype him. I'm very cognizant of that.
That's understandable. You know, I mean, he's going to have a slow start. There's no doubt about that. I'm pretty surprised. And then I thought about it and everything. I mean, and I know you're going to hate starting out comparing him to Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. But remember, last 5 years, Alex Smith only went over that number twice.
Right.
And one of those was the absolute best year of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of that was not all Alex Smith's fault. A lot of it was that there are faults with the Chiefs' offense. You know, and one of them is that they don't score in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, could you make the argument that you're just calculating in, you know, slipping Mahomes into this offense with what the Chiefs' offense has done over the last 5 years? Yeah, but all of that said, I think he's going to cruise by that pretty easily. I think it'll be later than week 8. I don't think he's going to throw for 44 touchdowns or anything crazy like that this year. But I think he'll get there. I mean, I'll say week 13.
I like that. And that is cruising by it. Because it not only the thing you're saying about the Chiefs' offense is totally fair. Now, he's getting Chris Conley back, which Alex Smith didn't have last year. And most importantly, he's getting the addition of Sammy Watkins. But the red zone offense, as a problem that you identified there, is very real and very interesting that you kind of jumped to that point. So what do you think about how that evolves with Mahomes, with the addition of Sammy Watkins? What do you think the Chiefs are doing to address that?
Well, I feel like Sammy Watkins was the biggest thing to address it, because that's a serious red zone target.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you didn't have Travis Kelce, who's a red zone target too, but, you know, adding Watkins, I think, just makes it, you know, really pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are going to be people who are going to be open down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. And, you know, and that's one thing that maybe the Chiefs will benefit a little bit going to Patrick Mahomes versus Alex Smith, which I felt like, especially in the red zone, that, you know, one thing that the Chiefs really struggled with was that they just ended up being a little bit too predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they just tried to, you know, rely truly on just outthinking the other team. And I think at some point it got into their heads, because, you know, over the last few years, how many gadget plays and trick plays did we see the Chiefs try and pull to get into the red zone, get into the end zone? And, you know, I think that maybe, you know, if they, you know, having a quarterback like Mahomes, who I think is going to be more of an instinctive quarterback, maybe, than, you know, just always going strictly by the book. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. there are absolutely going to be plays that Andy Reid's going to call, and it's going to be, hey, you know, we always see that the safety goes this direction on this look. So mm-hmm. you're going to, you know, it's going to be a timing throw over the middle. You're going to throw it to Travis Kelce right there. And if the other team reads it, yeah, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think between what we saw in training camp and in the preseason, you know, Mahomes is going to freelance.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, going to probably make this a more effective in the red zone team, just because other teams aren't always going to necessarily know what's coming.
Yeah, and to that end, I don't think it's true that it will be freelancing in spite of Andy Reid, because I think the most interesting thing that I heard out of OTAs so far, anything in the Chiefs offseason, the most interesting clip I heard was Patrick Mahomes talking about the offense and how he and Andy Reid have, and also Mike Kafka and Eric Bieniemy, but, you know, to a lesser extent, how those four guys have been working together on this offense, and they'll try something out, and if it works, they keep it. If it doesn't work or one of them doesn't like it, they go back to the drawing board. And that was really encouraging for me on two levels. One being that Andy Reid trusts Patrick Mahomes to be a part of kind of the building of his offense. And two, that it's going to look more like whatever it is that's going to be built for Mahomes. The trust leading into the result and also the result, you know, hopefully earning more trust. I found that super encouraging. I'm wondering if you felt the same way.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that that's pretty consistent with what the Chiefs have done. I mean, especially if you look at, you know, what this offense looked like in 2013 mm-hmm. versus what it looked like in 2017, it evolved quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Andy Reid spent a lot of time working with Alex Smith, and even, I mean, you know, Matt Nagy even talked about last year, you know, in 2017, he was still watching old Utah tape mm-hmm. and everything, looking for things that Alex really liked to run and was really effective with, that they stole. And, you know, and some of that stuff really worked pretty well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's to be expected, but I think it does say a lot that you are letting Mahomes be a pretty strong voice in there, that you're not just saying, hey, you know, here's what we found that you ran well in the past. You know, here's what we think you're going to run well with. Just do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely give and take there. I mean, they want him to buy into the offense, and they want him to be comfortable with it. And if it's something that he doesn't want to do or isn't comfortable with, they're willing to throw it out.
Do you feel like it's fair to say that there is a mutual respect there? Because I think what it is probably fair to say is that the biggest concern going Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes is that you lose a veteran who has a tremendous grasp on the offense and the NFL in general, frankly, to a guy who ended up, you know, having a lot of his success in freelancing situations in college. Do you see that being something that's becoming an increasingly smaller concern, that Patrick Mahomes is picking everything up, is working collaboratively with the coaches, and is going to fit into a scheme that last year, or at least last few years with Alex Smith, can be sort of cerebral?
I think you're going to have to see it on the field
to
really feel good about it.
Sure.
Because I do. I think you're right. I mean, I think that's one of the concerns is, you know, and I fit that in with the discussion of, you know, how long is it going to take for Patrick Mahomes to learn what he can and can't do
mm-hmm.
out there on the field?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that plays into it. I mean, I think there's obviously there's part of it is, you know, how quickly he learns, you know, what kind of windows he can throw through, you know, where exactly he can deliver the ball, how he can deliver it. I mean, things that he can and can't do to get away with. And that's going to be trial and error. And, you know, and how he's going to earn Andy Reid's trust is if he makes mistakes once.
Mm-hmm.
He can't make the same mistake over and over again, or that trust is going to erode pretty quickly.
On Kareem Hunt, briefly, this is the second little thing that's come up this offseason. And in this case, the TMZ report was that I have all the specifics. Yeah, TMZ reported that Kareem Hunt allegedly punched someone over the weekend. No serious injuries, no arrests, and no plans to press charges. So that makes it all feel like not a huge deal. But someone tweeted, a friend of the show here, Seth Kaiser, who I think described it very well, which is, said, it's not concerning. Is that where you're at with Kareem Hunt right now? Or is there maybe a larger, more obvious concern?
I think two things happen in one offseason. I think it goes beyond not being concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes to being concerned.
Yeah.
You know, you do kind of wonder if you know, maybe Kareem Hunt's got somebody in his entourage that's on the payroll of TMZ. Because
mm-hmm.
I think they both broke these stories.
Yeah, I think you're
that's
right.
Oh, yeah. Weird in its own way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's, if they haven't had the Chiefs have not had the conversation, they've got to have the conversation now,
mm-hmm.
which is you can't put yourself into these situations. If there's a crowd that you're running with, you've got to cut them loose.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be, you know, just doing things that the other people do. And if there's somebody that's targeting him, trying to get him into trouble, or if it's actually an attitude problem on his end, they got to nip it in the bud because, you know, so far these incidents, I mean, he's gotten away with them, but even if these are just merely, you know, specific cases of him putting himself in bad situations, you can't do that. I mean, mm-hmm. that's, you've got to avoid those spots.
And this one was in Ohio, and I think the first one also, I'm trying to pull that up now.
Yeah, it was.
So then that was just kind of like his home region, I guess, or he's back there in the office. This one is a little more concerning, though, because this one's so close to just, you know, recent OTAs, and it feels like more of the part of the offseason where you're getting back to work and everything. So, yeah, I guess if it's not at least not concerning, it being just straight up concerning, I think is reasonable. I would assume that doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs having 100,000 running backs as they currently do. Maybe that gives you, I don't know, a slight, I don't know if there's any correlation at all, a slight amount of feeling better, but Kareem Hunt's a greater talent than any of those guys. He's also cheaper than any of those guys. So that's probably not really helping, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that, hey, the Chiefs have enormous depth at running back, but the drop-off from 1 to 2 is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if the drop-off from 2 to 6 is almost imperceptible.
Mm-hmm.
From 1 to 2, that's a huge drop-off.
Yeah. Okay, so we've covered the news of the week and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that really, again, that is June radio right there. We are killing June Chiefs radio. But we haven't talked in a while, Matt. What else on this team are you interested by? What do you have an antenna up for? What do you see as being, it doesn't have to be a camp battle, but maybe a position of strength or weakness, anything that you find particularly interesting that's not the quarterback?
Well, the biggest thing I think I'm going to be watching, I mean, because I've been watching it at OTAs, and I'm really, you know, since we're going to have a chance now to see four practices over the next week with minicamp next week, I'm watching cornerback.
Yep.
I mean, I'm fascinated in it for no other reason than obviously this is a huge position of real need that the Chiefs have to figure out and everything. But, I mean, there's just so many compelling things to see there.
Yes.
You know, I've really want to see how this trio, because it seems like between, you know, Fuller, between Amerson, between Nelson, she's pretty happy with that trio. And I'm really interested to see if they progress, if it really looks like that group can be your starting group. And then I'm really interested in seeing, you know, maybe the four or five guys, young guys behind them. I mean, Arian Springs, you know, the undrafted kid from Oregon, has just been blowing coaches' doors off. I mean, they love this kid. I mean, everything that they've seen about him so far has just impressed them. And you've seen it in the practice field, too. I mean, he looks like a player out there. And Tremont Smith, sixth-round draft pick, same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I think in some ways Springs might be a little bit more advanced at this point than Smith is. I think that's just level of competition more than anything. I think that once Tremont Smith gets a little bit more comfortable, you know, just being out there and everything like that, and gets more comfortable with the speed, I think you're going to see the aggression pick up with him. But, you know, he looked great in minicamp with the rookies, and, you know, and they're giving him a chance. I mean, he's definitely getting to work with that main, you know, starting group and everything, at least, in drills and everything like that. I mean, he's hanging out with the big dogs. So, those are five guys right there that I'm really interested in. I know the Chiefs are, you know, they're high on Will Redmond and Heath Reaser, and they got a lot of other bodies in that group to compete too. But I'm really interested to see how this shakes out, because if those top three, I mean, if Fuller and Nelson and Amerson, I think that there's a reasonable chance from what we've seen so far, those three collectively probably better than the collective three that they had last year.
I'm seeing where that would line up to, because you're saying Peters, Darrell Revis, I guess, and Terrence Mitchell?
Yeah, I mean, whatever trio you kind of rolled out there. I mean, Nelson obviously played half the season, but Revis,
right.
I'm not even sure he was 100% healthy
the
entire year. I mean, because he's looked a lot better this year, and he's looked a lot more comfortable, it seems like, than he did during the season last year. And, yeah, I mean, between, you know, the Chiefs just absolutely got, you know, toasted for the most part on the right side and in the slot. And Kendall Fuller's not going to get toasted in the slot.
I mean,
that's gonna be an upgrade right there. Now, hey, David Amerson, is he going to be Marcus Peters? No, he's not. But is Steven Nelson going to, you know, really nail down that, you know, right side of the field? I think he will. And remember, what, the Chiefs ranked 27th against the pass last year with Marcus Peters? How much worse could it get?
I'm afraid of the answer to that, because I just, of all of that, none of that makes me feel particularly better. This is also the thing that I've accepted that one thing is true. If Patrick Mahomes is really good, then David Amerson isn't really going to matter. But while we're out here playing on the margins anyway, David Amerson is terrifying to me because the Raiders let him go, and the Raiders need corners just about as bad as the Chiefs do. And they decided that it was time to cut bait there. And Kendall Fuller being able to lock down the slot whenever he's there is great, and he probably can translate to an outside corner, and that's good. Steven Nelson, if you want to be optimistic, I can even understand that. But still, you are so close to just being, if not already, then at least eventually dropping down to below where you were last year. And the depth guys are all interesting. All those names you just rattled off there are interesting. But I do not feel good about the top. On Kendall Fuller specifically, is your expectation that he stays outside and then goes into the slot whenever there's a slot corner on the field and then Amerson comes out to the outside edge, or is there another expectation that you have?
You know, I mean, there's a couple of parts to it. I mean, one is that, you know, the Chiefs are certainly talking about the way that, you know, Al Harris talked about it last week, is that they want to keep their inside guys inside and outside outside.
Right.
Which would say, hey, you know, Fuller's going to play inside.
Oh, interesting. You take that as meaning Fuller stays inside, not making Fuller a number one guy outside.
Exactly.
Because, oh, interesting.
You know, I mean, the way that he was making the argument is that, you know, you want these guys to be, you know, good at one thing, and you don't want them to move around. And you talk about that. I mean, good grief, that's what they did with Steven Nelson the last 2 years.
Right.
And I think that kind of held him back, you know, asking him to move around so much and things that they asked him to do, moving from inside to out. So, you know, there's that part of it, one. Then part of it, two, is how much time is this team going to spend in a, you know, standard 3-4-4 defense.
Sure.
I don't think there's that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about having three corners on the field. You're going to have three corners on the field. I wouldn't, if it's at less than 70%, I'd be stunned.
Yep.
I mean,
agreed.
There may be more than that. I mean, they may just run with three corners 80% of the time or more.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, you know, yeah, this Fuller moving to the outside, that's moving in when, you know, they do make changes when they go to that nickel. Yeah, I mean, you could do that. I mean, I think Fuller is their best cornerback regardless, I mean, overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why he wouldn't be on the field 100% of the snaps, one way or the other. But if they're dead set the idea that, hey, inside guys are inside and outside are outside, he's going to be your inside guy.
That's interesting. Even just to have him in that slot 80% of the snaps makes me even more nervous about what happens whenever David Amerson or Steven Nelson are up against someone else's number one and number two corner, or number one and number two receivers. Like, it just, that feels like a matchup that worries me. Also, the draft, we haven't had a chance to talk about, the draft was really interesting in this regard also, because it felt like a huge portion of their draft picks were kind of guys for specialized roles. And like that, you know, Dorian O'Daniel coming in to sort of, at least, if not immediately soon, do what Daniel Sorensen did, but better and more naturally, to be a better physical fit for what Bob Sutton liked to ask Daniel Sorensen to do. And basically everyone through the entire draft was like, you know what, also he could play some slot if he needed to. So what was your takeaway from the specialization of the guys they took through the draft?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, I think it does apply to quite a few of the guys about how they exactly, you know, slotted these guys and everything, because, mm-hmm. yeah, Breland Speaks is, you know, a specific kind of pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, you know, just, I don't think, a universal 3-4 linebacker, outside linebacker. I mean, he's filled a pretty specific role,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to have to grow into being a 3-down player, but we'll see. But, no, you know, Dorian O'Daniel is, I'm really intrigued with the talk with Sorensen and everything like that, because I do see the similarities, but there's just enough of a difference in that, you know, I almost see them, you know, as the same player, except O'Daniel's the kind of guy that you have out there when, you know, you anticipate that the team's going to run, but you want to be ready for the pass.
Sure.
Whereas Sorensen's the guy that you're going to have out there when you want to be ready for the pass, but maybe guard against the run.
Right, that's interesting,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a subtle difference between them, but, yeah, I mean, Daniel's a very specific player, and special teams are a big part of that, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be a four-phase guy for them. They like him on every single team, so there's that. Derek Nnadi, I think, is going to be a pretty specific player, too. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that right out of the box he's going to be a starting player, but is he going to be their kind of run stuffer? He could. I think he's going to evolve in it at some point this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's. And I just the stretch of O'Daniel, Armani Watts, Tre'Mon Smith was funny for me in the moment, because I kept looking at these picks and going, "Wow, they just took three guys in a row who all of them Mel Kiper or whoever I was watching that. Any analyst was like, yeah, also he played some slot in college, and so and that it's funny that they want to make sure that they're well versed there. But also, that's Kendall Fuller's specialty. And frankly, I think that's the best that I've seen Steven Nelson be was whenever he was the slot guy. I felt really good about him in that role. So it's interesting, all of the musical chairs at the cornerback spot. One other thing with the secondary, do you think there's any chance the Chiefs have a move in them? There are really two realistic options. One being Rashad Breland, who is an interesting player because he signed a pretty big deal earlier this offseason, but a foot injury that was non-football related apparently kept him from clearing his physical there, so he's still out there. Also, there looks like there's going to be two cornerbacks that end up putting their names in for the expansion draft. I've learned enough at this point to never expect the Chiefs to do anything in the expansion draft, but I feel obligated to at least bring it to your attention.
Yeah, you know... both of them are pretty intriguing and everything. And, you know, Breland, could they be interested? Maybe. I would be surprised if they were for, you know, a few reasons. You know, one is that at this point, you know, he's going to be coming in on a one-year prove-it deal. And right. I don't think that, you know, hey, the Chiefs already have Amerson as their one-year prove-it
yep.
kind of guy.
I'm fully aware.
And I don't know if you want to build your entire secondary, you know, half of it around one-year prove-it guys.
You know,
especially when you've got, you know, two young guys in Smith and Springs that you want to develop, and all he's going to do is steal snaps from those guys. I mean, they're not going to learn if you load up with these guys. And as much as the Chiefs, you know, are going to tell you, hey, we're trying to win every year, everything they've done this offseason has been built around being better in 2019 and 2020. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they would make a big splash to try and make themselves better for 1 year than versus being better for the long term. So, and then we're not even talking about salary cap yet, which, yep. you know, I mean, he'd have to be ready to come in on the Chiefs to make it worth your while. But, you know, hey, supplemental draft, I wouldn't put anything past Brett Veach at this point.
That's true. We're in a new GM era. Yeah.
He's a player.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a player that he likes, I don't think he's afraid to sacrifice a draft pick to do it, but you get in the supplemental draft and you're also talking about guys with, there's a reason why they're in the supplemental draft.
Right.
And, you know, and one thing is I will say about Brett Veach is as aggressive as he has been in his limited time as GM, and we're still less than a year in mm-hmm. with the draft, he was aggressive, but he's not a risk taker. Mm-hmm. He's not going to, I think, take guys who have got big question marks, mm-hmm. which if there's injury question marks, if there's huge character question marks that they can't explain and justify, I don't think he's going to go down that road.
All right, Matt, last question for you here. What's your favorite fast food chicken place?
Fast food chicken, Chick-fil-A.
See, I think that's a very safe, I think it's a very solid answer. That demands the follow-up, though, of what sauce? What sauce are you using?
Oh, see, you're just here's where I get in trouble because I just put ketchup on my chicken sandwiches.
Ketchup,
ooh, Matt.
Ketchup.
I'll do it. I tell you what, I hit Zaxby's yesterday and picked up some chicken strips mm-hmm. and I dipped half of them in their regular sauce.
They're like
that spicy ranch, whatever it is.
Right.
And then half in ketchup. I'll wear it on that one.
Oh my goodness, that is so interesting. Because Chick-fil-A has so many good sauces. The Chick-fil-A sauce will change your life.
The Chick-fil-A sauce doesn't really do it for me. Under barbecue sauce, now barbecue sauce, I will dip chicken in all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, if you got chicken nuggets or chicken strips, and I had some Char-Bar sauce last mm-hmm. week that I was using on my Zaxby's chicken strips.
That sounds pretty good. That sounds like a pretty good move.
I'll go there, but on a chicken sandwich, the Chick-fil-A sauce and their barbecue sauce is to do it for me. I'll either just go plain or ketchup.
Do you keep the pickles?
No pickles. Although I will say this, from my days in college, mm-hmm. I always preferred getting the Chick-fil-A sandwiches with pickles and then taking them off because I don't like the pickles, but the flavor that kind of kicks it at least behind.
Sure.
It.
I think that the secret for Chick-fil-A's chicken. I have to confirm this. You might have to do this on your own time. I think that they marinate it in a pickle brine. I think that's part of the secret to it, if I've got my sources on that correct. So that would make sense.
I don't know what they do, but they do a pretty good job.
No, they do. They do. I can feel it that we're about to get in a chicken conversation next, and I wanted you to have the first word. Ketchup, though. That ketchup means we have to hang up on you. Completely independent of the fact that we've run out of time in this segment. This is a punishment. We are punishing your ketchup love.
I figured I was gonna have to wear that one.
Thank you, Matt Derrick. You will always be a Chiefs expert to us, and maybe a chicken expert, but certainly not a sauce expert, and that's okay. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Hey, because of the barbecue sauce, I'm all over that.
That's good. That's good. I think you feel a little bit better. Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. Follow him on Twitter, @MattDerrick, and give him a hard time about the ketchup. Thank you, Matt.
Great talking to you, man.
Ketchup.
The pickle bite's the best bite.
What sound is this? What sound is going on right now? Why does it sound like one of you's in a wind
Charlie's
tunnel?
Microphone.
Charlie, stop shaking your microphone. Did you not hear that?
I did, but
it sounded like a wind tunnel.
Sorry.
Stop Jeez. It.
I'm just very bothered by
That's fair.
Ketchup and pickles and no pickles, I guess.
You know what the real Chick-fil-A move? Sandwich, Chick-fil-A sauce, extra pickles.
Yes.
Extra pickles. I bet Beards hates pickles.
Not a pickle fan.
Mother.
God, Beards, come on, man.
I love pickles. I love pickles so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love pickles out of the jar. I love pickles on sandwiches. I like to get sides of pickles with things.
Sometimes I even drink pickle juice.
I wouldn't say it happens often.
No.
Sometimes if I'm at the end of a jar of like the Claussen brand pickles, which is just like really prime pickles, I'll give a little sip before I dump it all out.
Do you like sweet pickles? A lot of people say they like regular pickles.
Bread and butter pickles, you mean? I like bread and butter pickles for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
After like
they can get old.
After a few, my mouth starts feeling weird, and I'm just kind of not enjoying it as much anymore.
Everyone I talk to that actually likes pickles, they say no, but no, not sweet. Only dill.
No, bread and butter pickles are still pretty dope.
Yeah.
They're not as good, but they're still good.
Yeah. I'm a fan of all.
Ketchup on a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Gotta go ranch or some type of spicy sauce.
Or just go. I thought he was gonna say, you know, he'll go as is. Just a plain chicken sandwich. That's okay. Chick-fil-A sandwiches are pretty moist, or that's not a huge problem. That's fine. Whenever we come back, me, Charlie, Beards, we're going to talk about fast food chicken.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Best, like fast food delivery pizza chain. Beards.
Fast food delivery pizza. I usually just go with Pizza Hut.
That's usually what I go with, too.
Guys, the answer is Domino's. You guys both
want Domino's is good. Domino's is better than Easton.
Domino's has stepped it up, though.
Yeah, they got that garlicky crust.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's good stuff.
God, I love this sports show.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Tweet from Therese Paylor, formerly of the Kansas City Star. Sun's about to be lit. Ayton, Jackson, and Booker is a winning trio in a few years. Jackson's unselfishness will be key. Booker gets his shots up. And Ayton's talent is so great, he's going to deserve his touches too. Hell yeah! That's our sports talk.
What?
All right, let's talk about chicken.
Oh, yeah.
So, before the show today, Charlie went to Zaxby's. Beards literally had a week where he went to Slim Chickens 5 or 6 times in 1 week. I worked at Chick-fil-A for a year and a half. Also, I've been raising. I may be going back. Yeah. What was that article?
It's an article from Sacramento, California, about how they're trying to eliminate turnover of fast food employees.
Yeah.
And they're going to raise part-time employees to $18 an hour.
Mother, I think it was 17 because 18 would have triggered specifically for
a reason I would have
to explain it. No, not bad, not bad. Wow, living in Sacramento wouldn't be my favorite.
No. Talk about the Kings.
Yeah, let's do that every day.
Talk about how their young point guard wants to move the team to Kansas City.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
We would move to Sacramento and then the Kings would move to Kansas
City. Yes. We'd be making $17 an hour.
That's true.
Sounds pretty dope.
Mm-hmm. Do a live show from inside Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my God. We'd all get so fat.
Yeah.
We get so fat and so happy. Okay, so those are our bespokes. We've all been to these places. The places that I've written down here to discuss and perhaps rank are Zaxby's, Raising Cane's, Chick-fil-A, Slim Chickens, and KFC.
You're missing a few.
Okay, what else do we have on the list?
Churches.
I'd have never been to Churches.
Popeyes.
Never been to Popeyes.
They're both good.
It's fine. I believe you.
They're both good.
I think what we're basically going for, and we could honestly even take KFC off this list.
No. Can't take KFC off the list.
Well, shut up and listen to me. Because these are, I'm looking at sort of like the kind of new players on the field a little bit. Not that Chick-fil-A is new, but like maybe like the kind of the like the millennial chicken almost. So we're gonna call this KFC, Popeyes, churches. Those all feel like kind of the old guard a little bit. Also, these places are known for their boneless chickens, as opposed to not boneless chickens. That would be hard to look at, but as opposed to their bone-in chicken. So I think that's why this is the list I came up with. I just added KFC because I went there a couple days ago and it was fine. But I really don't think KFC's like chicken strips belong on the level of any of these.
No.
So we're taking KFC. This is how we're gonna do this. We're gonna do millennial chicken because I don't have the expertise to get to those ones you just mentioned, Beards. And so we have Zaxby's.
Well, we could just put those under the KFC umbrella if we wanted to, because they're basically the same.
Someone's gonna punch you in the face for saying that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lump things together necessarily. Take them out.
I think churches and Popeyes are way better than KFC.
All right, good to know. So we're not worrying about the places known for their like bone-in stuff. We're leaving out. Well, we're doing a four place evaluation here of the places, frankly, that we all go to very often. I would say. Zaxby's, Raising Cane's, Chick-fil-A, Slim Chickens. By the way, if any of them want to sponsor us, we'll make you number one on this list, and it will be unanimous.
Yes.
I do not care. But I also think that you have to evaluate specific parts of this. Best chicken, best sides, best sauce. Yep. And so maybe that all comes together. Can you guys keep your own track of your own stuff here so we can have this in play? I would try to do it all for all of us, but it would be bad radio.
Sure.
So can you guys write down your own things, Beards?
Our own rankings?
Yes, but of individual elements here.
Okay. Ooh,
actually, I do have. Hand me the legal pad, would you, Charlie? I want to. Well, like, we can actually write it down. And this actually might make it a little bit quicker. I can maybe do it for everybody.
So what? Chicken sides.
Chicken sides and sauce. Am I missing anything?
No.
No, I think that's it.
Chicken sides and sauce. We'll do some initials here and see if this is enough space for me. Beards' nickname initials aren't quite as good for him as his given name would have probably been, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a BMC here now. It's a BMC.
That's fine.
I like all of these places.
Mm-hmm. All are very good.
All of them are good. I like different things about all of them. In fact, I think what might be the easiest here, though, is to start with the most obvious winner. Raising Cane's has a problem. They have a problem with their sides. They have coleslaw and the toast that comes with it and the fries. But it's very limited, and none of those are great things. None of those things are great. I've also only had Zaxby's fries, which aren't great.
Nah.
Slim Chickens has really good fries. Chick-fil-A has really good fries. Do we have any thoughts on the side game here?
I think Zaxby's fries are pretty good, but I think they're better than Slim Chickens, honestly. Chick-fil-A's waffle fries are the best.
Nah. Beards. Feel free to respond with an actual sentence. We've been doing this
Charlie
show
finish.
For almost a
I was
year.
Letting Charlie finish.
He said he finished, and then you went, nah.
Yeah.
Say it. Go ahead. Let's hear a counterpoint.
Have you had Slim Chicken's okra?
I don't think so.
It's really good.
It's very tasty.
Yes. Is that your one seed of sides? Also, you know what?
The fries are amazing.
You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? Let's make it just fries.
Slims.
Okay, we're going fries, not sides here. So Beards has Slims at one.
Because Slims, you can get like fried pickles and fried okra.
Which also, I think, should play into it. That's a problem mm-hmm. that Raising Cane's has. Raising Cane's yeah. has like two different foods that mm-hmm. you can get there. I think aren't Raising Cane's fries and Zaxby's fries remarkably similar?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to put them on the same level because those are nothing to me. And then narrowly... It's the waffle fries are fun.
I know.
It's just narrowly Chick-fil-A over Slim's for me, as far as fries specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, you're going Slim second.
Slim second, followed by Zaxby's, and then
Raising Cane's last.
Yeah.
Beards, you got Slim's first, then what?
For fries?
Fries exclusively. Haven't changed topics yet.
Cane's two.
What? Go ahead, finish this. Go ahead, go ahead. Like a top four. We're doing the art. We all did
and
our
then,
fours.
And Chick-fil-A and then Zaxby's.
It's very low for waffle fries. I don't like it. Let's go to sauces now. I like this this place that we're at. This is important. Also, I would say that excuse me, that house sauces are matter, but also variety matters. If you have a non-house sauce that you're a big fan of, then that's a part of it. For me, the loser on this is Zaxby's. The Zax sauce is slightly below Raising Cane's.
I think they're very similar.
They're very, very
tastes,
similar.
Though.
Slim sauce is also very similar. Mm-hmm. But I don't order that. I like Slim's a lot, and I love the spicy barbecue, but Chick-fil-A sauce is the best sauce ever made. Chick-fil-A, Slim's, Raising Cane's, Zaxby's. On sauce game for me. Charlie.
Sauce game for me. I love that spicy ranch at Slim's and
that
spicy
good.
Barbecue sauce and their house sauce. I think I got to go.
Not offensive at all.
Slim's first, and then, yeah, you're right. Chick-fil-A sauce is just too good. So second there. And then I'll put Raising Cane's above Zaxby's.
So I did too. They're very similar, though.
Yeah,
now, Beards, you're interesting on this because you're not a big, like, sauce boy. Where do you land on all of this?
Slim's barbecue sauce is life-changing.
It's extremely good.
It is extremely good. I remember giving you, Josh,
yes,
your first bite of that.
You did.
And you made this face where you were just like, oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
It's incredible.
I didn't know that fries
so
could be this
one.
Good.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
Okay. I feel that way about Chick-fil-A sauce also, so Chick-fil-A narrowly. You know what, though? The overall body of work, Slim's might actually have the leg up because Chick-fil-A, for me, has one good sauce. Their new barbecue is worse. I don't care for ranch all that often. It's also very watery. Buffalo sauce is very bland. I don't care about Polynesian sauce. I know people love Polynesian sauce. I don't care for it. There might be a switch here at the top coming for me. Go on, Beards.
And then I've never had, I think I've only had Chick-fil-A just like once or twice, and I never got sauce for it. So that's a pass.
Okay.
Same with Cane's. I think I just had barbecue sauce at home, and I used that. So
I don't think they have
too.
Barbecue sauce, honestly.
Or just sauce in general. I'm just saying I had barbecue sauce at home, so I just rather use that.
Okay.
I got it to go.
Do you have anything on Zaxby's?
It's fine.
So we've got a Chick-fil-A and Raising Cane's non-available, not applicable, and Zaxby's in there. Okay. So let's talk about the actual chicken. One place that I keep telling you guys about, and this is a big swing for me. The sides are up there. The sauces are not great, but the chicken at Strips in Olathe, I think, is the best chicken on this
Never
list.
Never had it.
Never had it.
I know. I'm telling you to go sometime.
Okay.
It's in Olathe. It's the only one. It looks like a chain, but it's the only one in anywhere. And I think it's the best chicken out of any of these places. It does not need a sauce, but they have sauces. The variety on the menu and everything is incredible. I'm not on the payroll, but I would love to be. I don't love their sauces. I don't love their house sauce. They have a strawberry barbecue that I don't really care for. I think it's too sweet. So that's where it struggles. But they have a huge variety of wonderful sides, and the chicken's amazing. Also, their chicken nuggets are all gluten free, just like they just made their nuggets all gluten free, and they're really good. Totally independent of being gluten free, you would never know if you weren't told that whenever you were eating them. So shout out to Strips and Olathe. Feel free to sponsor the show. But that's not what we're ranking. They're not in this conversation.
Yeah.
So now chicken exclusively. Beards, will go to you first. I feel like this is the place where you have the most expertise.
Chicken. Slim's is one. Easy. Go Cane's two. Zaxby's three. Chick-fil-A four.
The hell are you doing the Chick-fil-A?
Eh.
I will say that the nuggets are a little bit dry.
Yeah.
I don't order the strips. I get the sandwich there.
The sandwiches
always.
Are too good.
Slim Chicken has the greatest ability to retain heat that I've ever seen out of any fast
Weird.
Food place ever. It's incredible. 5 minutes in, you can be sitting there and it's like, gosh, this is still piping hot. It's fantastic.
Weird
it's
thing,
not,
but okay.
It's not super breaded.
I think you would really like strips, I think. I don't know what you like, but I think you'd like strips.
I like breading. I really like breading, but it's like just very light amount of breading.
Yeah.
It's really good. The chicken
it's
is
very
phenomenal.
Good. I really like Slims.
Mm-hmm.
I also think I am going to go ahead and give Slims the very slight edge over Chick-fil-A and sauce because I'm now craving the spicy barbecue. Okay, Charlie, what's your chicken ranking?
I'm going to try to not let my recency bias come into play here because I have had
Zaxby's. Give me four to one on this time.
4-1?
Bottom
so
up.
Bottom up? Bottom okay. up. I got to put Cane's down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those cases, that's one of those instances where it's a little too breaded. Yeah. I'm surprised that with what Beard
like
just said.
I like crunchy chicken. I like crunchy breaded chicken, but I just like Slim. But Slim's is just like different enough, and it's like, oh, this is really good.
That's fair.
And again, I hate to do this, but Zaxby's has been pretty good lately, so I think I'm going to have to go Chick-fil-A 3.
Wow!
Zaxby's 2, and Slim's is obviously the best. Because Beard's is right. Those things are, you can't really make chicken fingers
Slim's
much better.
Slim's is really good, and especially as far as going for strips.
I passed Slim's today, and I apologize to it. Because I was going to Zaxby's.
The bottom two here is easy for me. Raising Cane's is good, and I think I like the Cane sauce a little more than Zaxby's. I also, the coleslaw is kind of nice because I kind of like coleslaw. If you don't, though, you're kind of bleeped there. But just the chicken alone, I think that. Also, the only time I've had Zaxby's, it's been coated in sauce. They're kicking chicken sandwich, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a bad feel because I feel like I'm giving it too much credit for being moist because I'm getting lots of sauces on it.
That was very messy.
And so, and I'll no, you know what? Zaxby's fries are actually a little more disappointing. So I'm putting Cane's fries above Zaxby's.
They're fine.
But I'm gonna go ahead and let my bottom chicken one here be Raising Cane's, just very, very, very close to Zaxby's. They're both good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all like we said, all
these
four
are all
really
very good. All of them because we would sell any of them our souls.
Yes.
Beards wouldn't be able to give up Slim Chickens for anything. If we said, hey, Beards, listen, we're getting paid $2 million a year by Raising Cane's to make that our exclusive chicken place, you would find Beards like at a Slim's drive thru and then dumping it into a Raising Cane's bag to bring into work. To be like, Cane's.
Yep.
This would be like the South Park episode with KFC.
I haven't seen it, but feel free to
explain. Where they're just peeling the skin off the chicken and eating that? Yeah.
When they're where they're dealing KFC
because
they take away, they close all the KFCs in Denver.
Perfect.
And they're like dealing it. It's like
good. Yeah, it would be that.
Yeah,
100%.
While you're making up your mind real quick, I will say I've had the wings at Slim Chickens and at Zaxby's, and Slim's takes the cake there as well. Zaxby's just
I haven't had Zaxby's wings.
They coat the wings a lot. It's like you were saying, with just like the normal sauce, like the cake and chicken or whatever. They just coat it. It's very thick.
All right, I've made my decision. Chicken basing it on chicken strips, a la carte, maybe paired with their sauce. I'm gonna go Slim's 1, Chick-fil-A 2 by the narrowest of margins. I'm also creating a sandwich category, and Chick-fil-A wins the sandwich category by a mile. Slim's is second, but it's Chick-fil-A.
The Slim's dude, chicken sandwiches? I don't remember.
Yeah, they have the cayenne whatever one. It's pretty good.
I just do the strips, so I don't know.
And then it's Zaxby's, and at Raising Cane's, you have to. They might have one, but you have to like make your own, basically, with your hands.
They do have
the bread
one.
They give you. Okay,
but
I haven't tried it.
But I haven't tried it either.
That's inarguable, right? Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A, Slim's,
sandwich
Zaxby's
category,
in the sandwich category.
Mm-hmm.
I think Slim's does have the best chicken, though.
Yes, it's really good.
I am going to go to one of these places after the show today, aren't I?
Mm, that sounds good.
But again, if any of the four are listening, we'll bump you guys right up to the top.
Yes. Any of them.
This is a flexible list, mostly.
Any of them. Yeah, and so, okay, so now can we do our overall rankings really quick? Because I feel like this is big, because now full experience, because for me, across the board, I've got Slim's and Chick-fil-A 1-2 in some order. And so for me, that's really obvious. The sandwich angle for Chick-fil-A is like almost insurmountable, but I'm going to say it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to say overall, we're going Slim's, Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, Cane's. Beards, I want your order.
Slim's, Cane's, Zaxby's, filet.
You're the worst.
I think I gotta mirror yours, Josh. Slim's. Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, Cane's.
All right, this is great. This is
a great segment.
I'm glad we did this. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to go get food after the show?
I mean, I ate so much Zaxby's earlier, but I
are you guys both working after this?
Yeah.
I might just go, and then I got to come back and do some stuff. Cause, oh, wait, programming note, I didn't mention it yesterday. Tomorrow will not be a live show, but it will be a good show. I'm going to be out getting ready for a wedding. And then
is there any chicken
in a wedding.
Talk?
There is no chicken talk, but there is some of the best segments we've ever done in the history of this show. Tomorrow's 2 hours of best of, and it, honestly, it's all really good. I listened to a lot of it yesterday while putting it together, and it's very good. So do not despair if you do not hear the live show tomorrow. The best of is very good.
So but, all the segments with me, then.
It's radio, so you couldn't hear Charlie take a huge drink out of his Zaxby's cup. But I saw
hoping,
it.
I was hoping.
I saw it. And boy, was it worth it.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Well, I got off the sugary pop a while ago. And then, so if I was drinking sweet tea, it'd kind of defeat the purpose. So I kind of just got used to unsweet tea now. And even when I taste a little bit of sweet tea, it just, whoa, way too much.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Now that you guys, now you guys know about my... I don't know what was so funny there.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We dive into the comments for several important statements. One that left Charlie just disheveled. Keith said, just wanted to say that my morning bike commute today included 20 minutes about being shoulder deep inside a rhino. Thanks for the quality, Almost Entirely Sports Radio. Charlie read that comment out loud and said, I'm going to need some context.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, I have to go listen to the podcast.
It was really good.
When was this from?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday we talked about being shoulder deep inside a rhino for 20 minutes. Good. Keith did not. PVC pipe came up.
Yeah.
Charlie just blinked at me really aggressively, like that meme. He looked exactly like that dude from that meme. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I can tell you that won't put too much of the puzzle together. And I don't really think I do want to give you any more of that. They said there's a lot of bleep in the way. Getting in
there.
Would
imagine.
Yep. They said that. They've trained the rhinos largely to poop before, but it doesn't get you the whole way clear. Apparently.
I heard rhinos are very aggressive creatures. So
actually, no. They said that that they actually are super chill with having an arm put up there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good for them.
My mom said grilled and fried should be their own category.
Rhino or chicken?
Who could know?
I don't know.
Who could possibly know? Also, Ian asked if we have Nando's. He sent us a link.
Parents, what's a Nando's?
I have... not fat finger, but they were just fast and they hit the enter key way too soon.
I still like it though.
It looks pretty good. I don't know anything about it. Ooh, it's in, like, it's not just overseas, but it's only in the Northeast, looks like DC, Maryland, Virginia, and Illinois, I guess. So not really traditional Northeast. Oh man, we ran out of time. We ran out of show today.
We did.
I wanted to tell you guys about how Joaquin Phoenix is going to be playing the Joker, and also Jared Leto is going to be playing the Joker in two new movies.
Ugh.
The thing I wanted
did
to talk
like
about.
Did you like Jared
today.
Leto as the Joker? Both of you?
I would have very much liked to have seen Suicide Squad directed either in one of the two ways they tried to pull it.
Yeah.
And I think Jared Leto could be a good Joker. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad was a mess.
He was fine. Like,
he was okay.
Out of the three, he was probably at three.
I think that's also fair, but also really wasn't bad. And the problem,
like, he wasn't bad. It was just
really quick.
He was my
quick, favorite. Quick. An intriguing part is the setting. The intention is to make a gritty and grounded, hard-boiled crime film set in early '80s Gotham City. It isn't meant to feel like a DC movie as much as one of Scorsese's films from that era. Joaquin Phoenix, gritty, failed stand-up comedian turned clown prince of crime. Apparently. All right. Best of tomorrow. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Beards. We'll talk to you live on Friday. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports. With Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.